Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am joined by Quentin Henny, and we will be chatting about SK Mining. SK Mining is traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol ESK, and on the OTCQX under the symbol ESKYF. Now, Quentin is a technical advisor and director of SK Mining. This company has been brought up a couple times by some of my guests, and I've also seen it pop up in the comment section a fair bit. The stock has been screaming higher, and it's on the back of building of a team, as well as some early on impressive drill results. Now, just to bring everybody up to speed, SK Mining is focused in the Golden Triangle. They have the SIB property, which is right beside the SK Creek mine, which I think a lot of our listeners know from all the coverage that I have given to Skeena Resources. But Quentin, start us off with just a general comment of what attracted you to SK Mining and this property that got you on board as a director and a technical advisor.
Absolutely. It's a good place to start. Look, Mac Balcom, who's the CEO, has approached me several times, really over about a 10 or 11 year period. He kind of came in and cleaned up the company. I believe it was roughly 2009 or so. I was not in a position where I could commit to anything at that time. I did help him find a geophysicist, Tom Weiss, who's still with us. He's actually a director as well. But I've kept, you know, pretty close watch on the project. I do like the district. I like this style of deposit VMS, this precious metal rich VMS system. And, you know, the SK Creek mine, I mean, that is hands down, you know, one of the most famous and, you know, profitable mines in gold mining history. It was the single largest or single highest grade gold mine for many years. Average grade is about 42 grams per ton gold, but also 2.1 kilograms silver, which is just, it's nutty. But look, Mac approached me, but he then, you know, there was a period where he had an earn-in with Silver Standard that they walked away mainly because they had other priorities for spending money at that time. But there was a period about, I think, September 2019, where it looked like I might be able to actually contribute something because I talked to a good friend of mine at Colorado School of Mines, Thomas Monicky, who's a professor there. And I said, Thomas, you know, if I commit to something like this, can you help me out? Thomas did his dissertation at SK Creek. So he basically wrote the papers that define the deposit. Okay. And Thomas said, yes, he felt he and his cohorts there at School of Mines, including John Dedecker, could help me out. You know, I need a team. Like, you can't do this, alone. You got to have a team. And when I could see that I had a team, I went back to Mac and I said, okay, if we work together with the Colorado School of Mines, I think we can pull this off. So we did. I mean, you know, COVID and all, it was a bit of a challenge, but we got, some cash into the company in May of this year. The original goal was to just do geophysics and try to get our feet in the ground and verify some or look at some of the historic core and so forth and showings. But it expanded very rapidly. Once we saw, and once we confirmed as a team, we confirmed that there was exceptional VMS potential here in the months of June and July, we decided to go ahead and commit to drilling. And we raised a bit of more money in August, and we undertook a drill program from around mid-August to mid-October, I believe. We drilled 20 holes. It was an amazing snowball effect. Basically, you know, the excitement we had about seeing this VMS mineralization literally sticking out of the ground at these TV Jeff targets, it got us fired up. And as soon as we started drilling, every single hole, I mean, every hole, it was remarkable, hit this stuff, hit nice intervals of either, you know, massive sulfides or stockwork sulfides or replacement sulfides. We saw all sorts of wonderful things. Look, we're still waiting on assays from 11 holes. We talked to the lab not too long ago, and they're, you know, telling us around the end of the month. You know, everything requires patience these days, but I feel very optimistic that the remaining holes will continue to confirm. I think basically most or all of them have decent intercepts of mineralization, And I think they'll confirm that we're on to a major discovery. And you put it in context with what we have found, with what else you see in the district, you know, Skeena. We're seeing intercepts that are very comparable, you know, similar gold equivalent numbers over similar lengths. So, you know, maybe tens of meters of, say, 2.5 to 4 gram equivalent gold equivalent type grades. We also have some sniffs of bonanza grades now, too. Which, you know, we had, I think, 5 meters of 33-gram gold equivalent in one hole. So look, all of the elements are just starting to come together, starting to coalesce and tell us we have a major discovery of a new precious metal-rich VMS. I think the biggest and best piece of information, I know I'm rambling, but the best information we have generated so far is our SkyTEM data. We did SkyTEM over about a third of our total land holdings. And it absolutely shows, you know, numerous targets. I mean, literally like a couple dozen likely sulfide targets, you know, that are close to the surface that are easily testable. And our first drill holes in these pretty much confirm, you know, that's exactly what these are. They're precious metal rich VMS. So, you know, I'm excited. I think we've got 85% of the district tied up, you know, where you can find these types. And I think this is going to be one of the best stories in Canada this year.
So, Quentin, well, in all fairness, the stock has already just screamed higher at the tail end of the year, and it was already in an uptrend. So it was one of the best performing at the end of the year. But, Quentin, I've already seen a couple people wondering what prior work had been done at this project, because you would think with how successful the Eskay Creek mine was that this land right beside it would have already been tied up and there would have been somebody else that had drilled there in the past. Can you give us a bit more of a history of this project?
Absolutely. Look, there was a lot of exploration here, you know, certainly right after the discovery of Eskay Creek. Now, you got to put it in context. Okay, this is right around 89, 90 in that period when things started taking off. And you got to understand that people didn't really know what Eskay Creek was. I mean, they kind of suspected maybe it's a VMS, but there were other ideas about what it might be. But nobody knew for sure until the kind of the seminal papers on the deposit came out, which would have been, mid to late 1990s. Now, this area, look, you know, on the back of a major discovery like that, there's a lot of promotional, you know, hoo-ha that goes on, you know, and I would say that this property, unfortunately, suffered from being largely a promotional property for many, many years. In the early 1990s, there were several, you know, campaigns of drilling, including at TV Jeff. You know, but wide space and kind of wildcat holes, they weren't necessarily well thought out or well geologically, you know, defined targets because, you know, A, they didn't have an understanding of the model, but B, they kind of just wanted to go in and drill a hole that would make some noise, okay? So I would say that this thing is basically a discovery that was made in the early 1990s. But was not appreciated, certainly not followed up. Probably the biggest impact in this area was BRIEX. When BRIEX happened, which was, 1997, I think, the money shut off. I mean, there was no money for exploration, let alone, you know, remote BC. So basically, things went dormant for a long time. Now, when Mac came in, cleaned up the company, Mac did raise a little bit of money back in that last cycle, you know, say 2009 and 10 or thereabouts, and they drilled some more holes over at Lulu. Okay, now they did hit some very nice numbers over at Lulu, but they did not come back to TV Jeff. Again, Mac did not have a team that was focused on geology and geology driven. We do now. The team we have is like probably, you know, the most geologically focused, geologically driven team in this region. You know, they know their stuff. They know the deposit. They know what they're looking for and how to find it. Okay, so I would say the lack of discovery from those early holes or follow-up on those early holes was largely because, the geology was not the focus. It was promotion. And also the money just wasn't there for about I don't know, 12 or 14 years after the BRIEX event. So, look, it's, you know, people know, a lot of people know that there were drill holes at TV Jeff. What have we done? We've been much more systematic and shown that we have a big VMS system there, but we also know now where it fits in the stratigraphy. And because of Skeena's work up north, about 13K north, we know that we're into the equivalents of the lower mudstone and the even lower mudstone that they have. So we're starting to see these correlations of stratigraphy on a regional scale and mineralization within that. Okay, think about that for a minute. You know, what's the odds of having the same style of mineralization 13 kilometers away in the exact same strata? You know, most cases pretty slim. But when I see that on a regional scale, I get excited. That means you're in a big, big district, big system that's mineralized a very, very large footprint.
Hey, fair enough, Quentin. Thanks for providing that background. And I just want a little bit more color on the drill program then. It seems like the initial results and most of the program is focused on this TV Jeff zone or target, but there are a number of other targets on this project, and there is this whole Corey prospects that totals about 14 prospects in total. What was the strategy of that initial 20 holes, and what can we look forward to for drilling this year?
Okay, the first 20 holes were exclusively in the TV Jeff area. Now, they 20 holes only goes so far. The TB Jeff area is probably at least 3 kilometers on strike, so we only tested a very, very small part. TB Jeff targets are on what we call the Siblulu part of the property, which is the northern half of SK's holdings. That is in joint venture with Kirkland Lake. They, you know, it's a 20-80 joint venture. They have 20, we have 80. The Corey property, which you talk about, which is to the south, the southern half of the holdings, is 100% SK. And the trend that we see from TV Jeff goes straight down onto there. So we have a number of targets that we've identified down there that are basically the same ilk. You know, they're precious metal rich VMS targets along the same trend. You know, think of this like an anticline. Okay, so it's like a fold, and Eskay Creek and Siblulu are over on the west side. We're on the east side where we are, TV Jeff. But the entire east side is wide open for discovery. So on our 100% on ground at Corey, we think we have the continuation of the TV Jeff system, and quite frankly, I think we have a hell of a lot. Excuse my French, but a lot more strike to work with on that side than we do up the west side of the anticline. The west side of the anticline, we have about 2 or 3 kilometers that we can work with before it goes under a thrust wall. But the east side is wide open. Very exciting.
So really, this initial drill campaign, even the one whatever you plan for this year, sounds like it's still just getting a handle on how big this could be, where some of the high-grade mineralization is. Really just testing out scale and size here.
Yeah, let me be clear. We raised money. We raised about $13 million and change. That money is going to go towards an aggressive drill program this year, 30,000 meters as a minimum. Roughly half of that is going to go straight towards TB Jeff to step out and expand that system. And then the remaining meters are going to be assigned to drilling other targets, including Siblulu, where I think, given Skeena's recent results, the McKay adit, we can then carry onto our property, which, we're talking 50 meters away. So we know that system comes straight onto our property. So we'll do some drilling up at Siblulu, but then we're also going to test those new targets. So again, half the drilling, or maybe a little more, goes to TV Jeff, tries to demonstrate that could be a very, very large discovery. And then the other half of the drilling will go towards the other targets we have, Siblulu being one, but there's at least another 10 or 11 targets we plan to test this year. Very aggressive program.
All right, perfect. Thank you for this update, Quentin. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I can get Quentin and Mac to address those for you. We are still just waiting for some more drill results, 11 more holes. And, well, there's a big drill program coming next year, too, or this year, that is fully funded thanks to the fairly significant raise that happened at the end of the year. Quentin, thanks for your time today. I'm sure we'll be chatting again soon.
Thank you, Corey.